Ladies and gentlemen, pay attention. This is your boy, the coach from the WWE. I would like to welcome you to the very first wrestling podcast in the world to take you on a weekly deep dive into classic matches along with legends of the squared circle. Enjoy the discussion. Enjoy the back and forth. There's so much to get into. Ladies and gentlemen, this is The Payoff.
Bang, bang. This is an all-new episode of The Payoff. I'm Tom. That's Jeff. Jeff, how the hell are you doing?
Yeah, it's a snowy Sunday here in the 317, but I'm excited to be covering this one. Excited to be talking wrestling again today. Just we've had some big announcements lately about the future of Mania and stuff like that, and so good things happening in the wrestling world.
Yeah, we're making progress. Things are trending in the right direction, so that's good.
For once, yeah.
It's been a while.
So, yeah, it's always good to hear. Yep.
Cactus Triple H, Rumble 2000. I think I was the one that had suggested this. I'll tell you, for me, man, this feud was criminally underrated. We'll talk more about it, but there is no The Game without Mick Foley. I think he was so important to legitimizing Hunter Hearst Helmsley as a legitimate singles threat post DX, post Shawn Michaels. So I'm really pumped to dig into this feud. And this was the match in the feud. This is the best one. And obviously we're rounding out our Royal Rumble great payoffs. So for me, I'm really pumped to cover this one. What about you?
Yeah, and I think, and you kind of said it, but I'll kind of put an amendment to what you said. I think the important to the Triple H, character and kind of storyline, but also important, and I'll get into it with the build here, important to the Hunter Hearst Helmsley McMahon story. And so in the whole feud that went on there, which we'll talk about for a little bit, because it really, like, that was such a big part of this as well too. You can't really overlook that, but yeah, like, and both like Mick Foley and Cactus Jack, Mankind, just so much happening here that it's, yeah, I have to absolutely agree with you. So I'm excited. I forget if this is one that I think we just had this one on the list because we realized, yeah, we have to talk about this one when we were looking at important ones. But this one, yeah, absolutely excited to get into this one and talk about it for a little bit.
Well, let's jump right into the build.
Oh, it's time for the build.
So Rumble 2000, New York City, Madison Square Garden. Jeff, this is one of my favorite WWE, WWF pay-per-views of all time. And when I say all time, I'm talking, maybe top 10, top 20. I'm not saying it's the greatest, but This is a really fun show. They just had a super hot crowd. You're in the garden. It's jam-packed. We're on the road to WrestleMania, and we start off with Kurt Angle, who's undefeated, doing a great job, doesn't look beatable, and out of nowhere, we get the suplex machine, we get Taz, chokes him out in 3 minutes, the place goes bananas, okay? They're selling it like Angle can't breathe. He's getting stretchered out. This was just straight up awesome. Now, unfortunately, it was all downhill for Taz as a single star following this. And boy, did they miss out on an opportunity to just make him a little ass kicker. But what a cool way to start this show off. Then we get Hardy's Dudleys in a table match, which that's going to be fantastic. We get some big bumps. Fun 10-minute match. Then Jericho, who's your Intercontinental Champion, defeating China and Hardcore Holly. We've got a couple different titles floating around here, but Jericho's going to win. Short match. New Age Outlaws, your tag champs, defeating the Acolytes, who of course were Bradshaw and Farouk. 2-minute match, just a little bit of a buffer. And then the reason we're here, Triple H, your champion, against Cactus Jack. And I know you're going to get into the build, but I'm pumped to cover this one. Yep. And then we finish off with our Royal Rumble match for a championship match at WrestleMania 2000. Remember, that's what they called WrestleMania 16, WrestleMania 2000. And The Rock would last eliminate The Big Show to get that championship. Now, we'll talk more about it, but as you know, we didn't get a straight up championship match there. We got a McMahon in every corner and I don't know. Not the finest WrestleMania main event. Interestingly enough, man, there was a lot going on in the business at this time. Over in WCW, it's just a shit show. Vince Russo is demoted. Remember, he's booking over there. Benoit is going to win your world title, but then get stripped of it. And he's trying to get out, as are Eddie Guerrero, Dean Malenko, and Perry Saturn. They're going to shortly make the jump over to the WWF. We got Steve Austin out with his neck injury. We got The Rock legitimately upset with Mick Foley. Remember, they had a weird kind of real life relationship during much of this. And it's just funny to think about The Rock like somewhat jealous or having animosity to Mick Foley, given where his career would go.
Right.
And then, you know, again, back to the shit show of WCW, Randy Savage's contract's expiring, Hulk Hogan's in limbo, and the fear is Bret Hart's career may be coming to an end. And, dude, I was watching, and I know we're going to cover this match soon, but I was watching the year that Steve Austin won the Royal Rumble. There's three guys he screws over. We're going to get that final four match. But the point I'm making is Bret Hart being screwed by Steve Austin completely acts like a heel afterwards. This is the beginning of that 1997 where Bret Hart is firing on all cylinders. He's an incredible whiny heel. And I'm just watching that and I'm like, my God, 1997, Bret Hart is in his prime. I would argue a far better heel than babyface. He could have had just this 5, 6, 7 year run in Attitude Era WWF, being a heel, feuding with Austin, feuding with Shawn Michaels, you know, all the other matchups you could have had with The Rock and Mick Foley. And again, instead, he ends up in WCW, and by 2000, the career's over due to injuries, mental and physical health issues. And it's just so sad to think about what could have been had he just stuck through in this era. And I mean, you look now, you have Triple H firing on all cylinders. You've got The Rock, you've got Mick Foley, you know, Steve Austin, all of these players, you know, and what could have been with Bret Hart, but wasn't. So that's all I got. Storyline standpoint, how do we get to these two? And this is an awesome build, so I'm excited to hear about it.
Yeah, there was a lot going on this one, and so I've kind of had to pick a date to kind of start this one with, because there's just so much, and you've got the characters kind of, you know, the storylines and just so much happening. But, you know, the Royal Rumble happening, this would have been early 2000, of course, late January 2000. I'm going to go back, though, to August 1999. You had Foley actually returning. It was a three months or so after absence. He had had knee surgery, and then before that he had been feuding with Triple H a little bit, but then also, like, we continue this in order to cover for the surgery that Foley had, Triple H using the sledgehammer prior to that to, you know, I'm using air quotes, nobody can see it, like, to quote injure Mick Foley and to let him go out and do this. And so episode of Raw. You have Mankind and Triple H. They go to a draw in a match. It was for the number one contender for the WWF Championship. Because of that match going to a draw, you ended up with the triple threat match at SummerSlam 1999. It was Steve Austin, Triple H, and Mankind. And so you ended up during that SummerSlam, actually Mankind winning the championship by pinning Austin. And so there's a little bit of cover here. And so just follow along at home that, yeah, it's, you know, covering for injuries because they were just working a crazy schedule, beat to holy hell. And so because Mankind winning, Triple H getting pissed off, and, you know, why didn't attack Mankind, who knows, but like, you know, taking out Austin, which it ended up then Austin being out for a little bit to cover for a knee injury that Austin was also having. And so, but then the next
let me make a quick point to this, because I think it's important. Yep. And think about this, Jeff, in the pandemic era, right? For lack of a better term, how many serious injuries can you think of in wrestling this year?
Yeah, great. The fact that you said this, I've never thought of it until you just said it. But like
the only one I can think of is Edge. And I'd argue that this is a 45-year-old man who was wrestling his second match back. And they were doing this like hour-long thing that happened right at the end of it.
I know we have had far more reports on like the dirt sheets, if you will, of people recovering, like they're getting their surgery, like outright just injuries happening in the ring has been rare, but like they're getting their surgeries to repair torn whatever, or, you know, they had a quick thing where they're getting it taken care of because they have the opportunity right now. I think it only, and we could talk about it during the match, you know, proving the off season, or like, you know, having seasons at all, it proves that it works.
And I get it. In this era, house shows merchandise were still a big part of the equation. Now they're not. And it has nothing to do with the pandemic. It's the fact that they make all their money on the network and, more importantly, their cable TV deals. So am I saying eliminate house shows forever? No. What I'm saying is put together a decent card. You know, rotate these guys in and out. Maybe you're on the road for a month at a time and off for a month at a time, or you're on for a week, off for a week. I mean, there's enough talent there. Maybe you're not doing SmackDown and Raw separate tours. Maybe you just do one tour, and 1 week you get Reigns, 1 week you get McIntyre, whoever you're going to put on top, and you bounce around. I mean, there's a way to do this where these guys can, you know, make a really good living, restore their bodies. And then, I mean, you know, and again, I know it's a different era, but you go back and you think, hey, if, you know, guys could work less matches, you know, the two things I always look at are how much different would this business be if, you know, guys didn't have to work 4 or 5 nights a week, number one. And then how much different would the business be if, you know, in 1998, Vince McMahon would have been receptive to a Brock Lesnar type schedule, or even what Goldberg's doing now of a couple matches a year, because, you know, you wonder how many more matches could we have gotten out of Hulk Hogan, out of Steve Austin, out of some of these guys that, I mean, you know, eventually you physically break down, but if you're doing the Undertaker schedule, if you're doing, you know, some of these schedules, I mean, you know, you got, and again, I know people, oh, well, the Undertaker wasn't the same. I'm sorry, but I'm in the camp of, I just love seeing him. And so for me to have seen him, you know, for 5 more years, yeah, they weren't all great. Yeah, there was some bad matches in Saudi Arabia, but, you know, you got more of that. So would you have taken 5 more years of Steve Austin doing 4 marquee matches a year, even if some of them were stinkers? I would have taken, you know, Steve Austin wrestling at WrestleMania 20 and WrestleMania 21 and going against Cena at 22 and Punk at 23 or what, you know what I'm saying? I would have taken all that. So, you know, again, I look at it now and pick your favorite guys, whether it's an AJ Styles who's up there in age, or, you know, a McIntyre, whoever, you know, an Omega. I mean, you know, all these guys that you love, you know, yeah, why wouldn't you want five more years out of them? Why wouldn't you want less injuries? But I hope that, you know, there's less neck surgeries and there's less guys retiring if there's a lighter schedule. So I think it significantly improves the quality of the product long-term if you have more hot top echelon megastars that can give you a few more years, and it draws in the fans. I mean, I know ratings aren't great now. I know, you know, the business is down, but I got to think that those times where Taker came back, you got some of our buddies in that were those lapsed fans to at least take a look, at least tune into Raw.
Yeah. And I think, it's a good point, especially, the thought I had when you were talking was like, even the Undertaker knew those matches stunk. Like, we watched The Last Ride, like, you know, he knew
and
that
they
he was not,
and they didn't yeah. all, but some of them just didn't work, you know, and it's, and maybe going
it was into like every other year. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, some of them, but you know, he did his best and, you know, and again, that's a guy, you know, with a lot of mileage, but I mean, some people you may have been able to mask it better. I don't, you know,
so anyways. Yeah, no. So, okay, we could talk about this more because I have thoughts on like them, or like, you know, booking against themselves with house shows and things like that. But so okay, we had the triple threat match. It was actually, I forgot to mention, Jesse Ventura was actually the special guest referee of that match.
That's and right.
So,
that's right.
And so you have that, but
which
then
is
the
a
next
big deal at the time, he was the governor of Minnesota.
Yes, and so deal.
And he had been out of the company for 20 years. What I it was a really cool
yes.
thing.
And so now you've got it was or you know Mankind, which was his third title reign, winning at that SummerSlam, but then the next night, actually, Triple H beating Mankind. I whether it escaped me or I just didn't realize it, this 2000 win on a Raw was the first time that Triple H had the WWF championship. And so he had the Intercontinental, he had other belts, but all the way back, like this is, I say like the post DX, like, you know, from 1995 when he kind of came over as Hunter Hearst Helmsley, this was the first time that he had actually had the belt of the WWF championship, which is just, it seems crazy looking back and thinking that, but that's how it was. And so you've got him though, finally winning the belt in what was his first championship, but then kind of moving forward and really extending far beyond this match, this is where you start getting into the McMahon Helmsley faction of late 1999, carrying over really, you know, through most of that year and into 2001. And so you also had him at this point kind of calling himself the Game. This is when this kind of this moniker started going through like the, you know, wrestling and people referring to him. JR a lot of times too, the Cerebral Assassin, you know, because he was the best in the game, just where a lot of that came from, and you started to hear a lot of that stuff. And so but because you had the McMahon Helmsley kind of controlling so much of what was happening in the WWE that, you know, they just started scheduling kind of crazy matches and just really, you know, you were starting to, you know, the authority was a thing. Not that they were calling it that, but that was what it was. And so, you had, though, you know, Mankind kind of objecting to all of this, not being a fan on this. And so you had them attacking him multiple times over the course of, you know, that period, and then eventually firing him as well, too. And so, of course, and we know in wrestling, it's almost like a comic book death. You get fired. Like, it doesn't mean you're actually dead. It doesn't mean you're actually fired. And so we had, now we're into early January of all this, him being fired, but it was the January 10th episode. It was Raw is War. So we're really 13 days out at this point that The Rock brought everyone out to the ring and said that if Mick Foley, Mankind was not reinstated, that, you know, the entire roster was going to walk out of the company. So he was reinstated. And then right away, you know, he requested a street fight. It was for the WWF championship at Royal Rumble. It was actually that night, as you know, I feel like they don't do as much of this anymore, I feel like, but that night, then we got the, you know, the 4-on-4 tag team that involved, or even just tag team match that involves, you know, two of the big name people. So you had Foley and Triple H on, you know, opposing corners, but you ended up Triple H pinning, you know, Mankind during that one. He actually used the ring bell and it was a couple pedigrees. And then because of all that, after this match, you had Mankind kind of pulling the Mankind mask off and attacking Triple H.
So good.
Great moment. Like, you know, just, I know we use the word iconic around here a lot, and even to WWE, but like, that's what it was like, and kind of the character persona. And at this point he had been working as a heel. And so, or excuse me, as a face. And so it was just a, you know, a great moment and kind of what was happening. And so in the week ahead of time, though, it was that SmackDown, Now you truly have Mick Foley coming back as Cactus Jack. Now at the time, Cactus Jack, you know, he had different attire for one. It wasn't the dress shirt and the tights and things like that. These are the tights, but you know, he just wore the Cactus Jack t-shirt. But then also that persona, that character was known as being, you know, and I remember it just, he was more hardcore. He was more violent. It was more of the, I say toned down Mankind. Not necessarily the right word, because Mankind did some fucked up shit. And so in regards to moves and kind of what he did in the ring, but just, it was a more hardcore character that kind of played into, everything that was, you know, what he was going for. And then especially in the lead up into what was about to be a street fight, it made a ton of sense. And so that character development, it was there. It made sense. And then, like I said, this was the week out, and then we get into the Royal Rumble in this match. So just good stuff.
Great stuff. And your homework is go back and watch the vignette before this match.
Yes.
But we'll talk more about that. So, all right, if you want to watch it with us, 1 hour, 10 minute mark, Royal Rumble 2000. That's the 1 hour and 10 minute mark of Royal Rumble 2000. Jeff, are you ready?
Oh, I am ready, my friend. This is an exciting one. Let's do it.
All right. It's time for the payoff.
Oh, it's time for the payoff.
All right, here we are. Some shit talking in the ring. I mean, dude, you got Mick Foley just straight up in the Cactus Jack gear, which is awesome. Starting off hot, Madison Square Garden.
Jawing at each other, yep.
Go watch the vignette before this match, and then tell me how it stacks up to most of what you've watched in wrestling over the past year. I mean, it is just so good. Mm-hmm. I can't believe how awesome of a build this match was, you know. And this isn't like WrestleMania main event either. This is just, you know, one of your other pay-per-view main events, and it was just so good. So,
well, this wasn't even a main event.
Well, yes and no. I mean, it's your world title match, but
right. Outside of the Rumble. Yeah. And so, and kind of having that. Yeah. But this is one too. And I just have to say too, cause like, for those not watching at home, this is the iconic kind of, as I view it, like the iconic Madison Square Garden setup with the entry, right. It's facing opposite camera side. So when they're going to the hard cam, you're looking at the entrance where the wrestler comes out. And so just a great, like, I've always, this is just a great setup. We've talked about this before and the ramps and things like that, but like, just a, you know, I appreciate this. And this is what I think of a lot of times when I think of Madison Square Garden.
So I thought something you said was interesting. And again, this is a street fight. We're on the outside of the ring. I'm assuming we're going to see lots of plunder. Been a while since I watched this match, but I just remember absolutely loving it and finding it to be super underrated. So you made a really interesting point, which was that you didn't even remember when Triple H won his first title. And yeah. admittedly, neither did I. And to me, that's one of the major issues. And obviously it's gotten a million times worse. I believe that if I say a wrestler, two things. Number one is you should know if he was a world champion or not.
Yep.
And then number two is you should know when he won his first title. Okay.
Yeah.
You should be able to name that. And that's the problem. Like, to be honest with you, I couldn't tell you the first time Roman Reigns won a title. And then I started thinking about it. I'm like, did Moxley, Dean Ambrose, was he ever world champ? I couldn't even tell you if he was or not. We remember when Seth Rollins won his first one because it was iconic, right? Mankind, we know when he won his first title because it was iconic. Austin, we remember. See, you go down and they should all be epic. You should all remember. Yeah, chair shot to the head. My guess is that's not the last one you're going to see in this match. But you know what I'm saying is like that. They should all be epic. Even if they take place on Raw, they should still be memorable. I mean, I'd even argue like when Kevin Nash won his first title, you know, as Diesel, it was on a house show, Madison Square Garden. Do you remember it? Because he kicked Bob Backlund and immediately powerbombed him. And it was like memorable in its own way. So it's like it doesn't always have to be the main event of WrestleMania, but it's like it should always be something that was like iconic and memorable. And I mean, we've gotten away from that. I mean, so many guys have been world champ and you don't remember when they won it.
Yeah, and I'm looking through it right now. So the last time Triple H had the belt, it would have been 2016.
Yeah, when he won the Royal Rumble.
It was the Royal Rumble, and then he ended up dropping it to Reigns. Yeah, and that was not too long after that. The Shield were kind of back and forth a little bit because then it was. And you ask about Dean Ambrose. Yeah, Seth won it early in the night, and then Dean cashed in. Dean cashed in against Seth and got the belt off of Seth that night. So that was 2016. But yeah, and so since that total, and we'll talk about the immediate, obvious, of course, aftermath of what happens with this one. But Triple H, since really this first title in 2000, has had the belt nine times. Excuse me, the championship, the strap, nine times, not a belt. Since that point. So between January 2000 and January 2016, he had it for nine different reigns. It's just like you said, you forget, and whether it's hot shotting or just kind of, you know, that's why, you know, take it with, you know, when I'm not surprised, you know, I've said this before, you and I doing what we do and Michael Cole, you know, forgetting certain things and he gets shit on every single time. Like we forget it too. Like, you know, it just kind of happens with so much content coming your way. So
we are out in the crowd. And I got to tell you, I love a good crowd fight. The last one I can remember, and I'm sure I'm missing a few, but even when Miz and Shane McMahon did it at WrestleMania, remember, just like, I just love taking it out in the crowd, and this is great. Now they're
and that one, and the crowd is on top of them. Like, even that's rare to see nowadays. Like, they are all over them. Like, almost like they are getting involved. Those do not look like, and he's setting up kind of wood pallets right now. Those do not look like wood, or excuse me, worked wood pallets.
I was just going to say the same thing. And
no.
Then,
oh. Yeah. And so
suplex on them. Yeah. There's really no way to gimmick those. And so, yeah, that's brutal.
So speaking a little bit too, to your kind of like, you know, how they book and things like that and the injuries they're having, I think it was within the last couple of years, even I realized like it made no sense to me why they were even like, they were booking against themselves. They would have a house show on a Monday night. It's like, and we know now, like, they're definitely not desperate for the cash, but like, why are you booking against yourself? Like, why aren't you getting people? Like, no shit, the TV ratings are bad when you're asking people to do that. Like, you and I had done, it was like a Saturday NXT show, or no, it was a Thursday NXT show. And because then you and I worked together on a project that Friday. And so, like, that makes sense. Like, you know, if you want to do something in the middle of the week, but then even then, like, you and I have the freedom where we can be out till 11 o'clock at night on a Thursday and it's not a big deal, but like that, everybody can do that and things like that. So like, it just booking against themselves is just, you got to wonder about the business decisions of, you know, is it really helping the bottom line? Like, we know now it really wasn't. Like, they didn't need it.
The only argument I think you can make for doing a bunch of house shows, you know, is you give people exposure to the product in person. So, we're bringing wrestling to Tupelo. Great. I get to see my superstars up close. Cause you know, you're going to other markets than just major ones. So we're still out here on the floor, man, kind of just beating the shit out of each other and, God, I mean, Foley just brought out, I mean, he brought out the best in a lot of people, but he really brought out the best in Triple H.
Shout out to Tupelo too. That was a deep cut. I'm not going to lie.
Hey man,
Mississippi, shout out to our fans in Mississippi. So we're working our way back to the ring. Now we had a suplex onto a trash can as well too. Definitely playing up the street fight angle of this. We've talked about it on the show too, all the signs in the crowd. I really miss those days. Just Foley is God and all this other stuff. And so,
I went back and looked at who was in the Rumble for this year. And, you know, it was missing any like major, I mean, it weren't like a bunch of surprise. I'll tell you what I mark out for, Jeff. I mark out for surprise Royal Rumble entrance. Yeah. And it's so tough now because, you know, you only have 30 spots and, you know, especially with the men's roster, my God, there's, you know, like 80 guys that you could put in it, right? Especially with some NXT guys too. So I wish we could get, I'd love to see the men's one. I'd love to see have 40 guys. Because 30 is just not enough. And I'd love to see some, you know, like dude, Jeff Jarrett coming out. Come on, that's great. Like that's just awesome. You know, give me like five guys like that, you know, that are just out of the blue. Gosh, I mean, how cool would it be to like see Mick Foley come back into one, you know? So like a combination of like just great legends and even a couple gimmicks, and I don't know, it breaks it up and you get their pop. Maybe they, you know, do a couple of their moves. Remember that one year DDP came back and he hit, you know, a couple diamond cutters. Like that shit's awesome, dude.
Yeah, and I remember 2018 and Shinsuke winning was one of I think that was one of the better years. I remember that's when, you know, the year before, like Ty Dillinger had come out at 10. Oh, we've got the barbed wire bat or 2x4 out at this point. Oh, and just taking shots, or Triple H giving it to Cactus in the ring. I'm with you though. Yeah. It's one of those where, you know, incorporate, let's see some, even this last year was good when you had, you know, Keith Lee and Brock and like, okay, like, hey, like we're setting something up here. Like this could be a thing. Like, you know, just kind of seeing what happens. It was huge. Like, you know, Adam Cole coming out after he had just had like a huge night on the NXT before and still taped up and things like that. Like I'm with you. That's the kind of stuff like you want to see, you want to be a little surprised. You want to, you know, have those legends kind of, and this is too, and I've always been an advocate for kind of the legends belt. Ooh, the low blow with the barbed wire bat, kind of pulling it up, Mick Foley at this point. So yeah. And you know, we're right on the cusp of this year's, you know, there's always, I always try to not look and see how many announced participants they are, because then it's kind of a tell of, okay, you know, can I expect no legends? Can I expect 10 legends? Like, what am I getting at here? So, same with the women's match. I think that they, you know, because that roster is a little bit smaller, they have the opportunity to bring people back a little bit easier. And arguably the women have had some better rumbles recently too.
I'll tell you, some of those women's rumbles have been excellent. I remember the first one was so good because so many of the women had, you know, hadn't been seen in a number of years, because they brought back all the divas and all the older, you know, star. I thought it was great.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Well, and then they give us those moments. Like, you know, I think I always think back to that. Like Vince has always been about giving us a moment, you know, the WrestleMania moment and things like that. And like, and you get like the Trish Lita kind of, you know, stare down and things like that. And the kind of the setup of those types of things, which are great. And it's a way to push people. Like we forget that, like there's no reason, like, you know, it's an hour long match normally. Oh, and the ref bump, there we go. Earl Hebner taking a shot of like getting some of these NXT people over, you know, in an hour long match, let them go 5 to 8 minutes. Like that's actually a long time in one of those matches. And they could, you know, someone could really make a name for themselves. So we got the barbed wire. It looks a little,
you know, Triple H is going to be bleeding. He went after his face.
Oh, he's already bleeding. Yeah. Before the barbed wire kind of, you know, running slam onto him, he was already bleeding a little bit. Yep. The blade job is done. So yep, just a little bit. Oh, nope. Not a little bit. There it goes. Yep. He sat up and that was it.
Oh
boy. That's a deep one. Yep. There you go.
So obviously we got a rematch between these two at the following pay-per-view, which was No Way Out. It was a Hell in a Cell match. And God, you know, the idea of Mick Foley being in another Hell in a Cell match, it just was impossible for him to ever live up to the hype. So, I mean, I get why they did it from a business standpoint, because remember, this wasn't when you were doing a bunch of Hell in a Cells. In fact, that would have just been your third one ever, I believe, third major one ever. But I don't know. I never liked the idea of that, because I'm like, there's just no way this match is going to live up to the hype. It obviously didn't. I mean, they tried to do some bumps, but kept them safe. And it's like, you just should have never gone back to it.
Yeah. And this was, so for him, this would have been his fourth, for that one, which we'll talk about after this one, but yeah. You know, and you're right, but that it was the third one was the Undertaker beating him as Mankind. But yeah, you just, how do you top one of the greatest moments ever? Like, at the time, we may have not known that Triple H, we have the Crimson Mask at this point.
I mean, he is just,
he's covered bloody in blood too. Yeah. On his back and everything like that. And so, and we don't, I feel like we don't hear it on the announcing enough. Like, it was always a good storytelling kind of moment for me, of like, they don't say like, oh, this is personal, like, anymore. Like, I just feel like I don't hear that as much as we used to back in this day. Like, this feud was like, you know, well, yes, kayfabe, but like, it was very personal. Like, you know, him getting fired, trying to come back, like, you know, being the, you know, Helmsley McMahon, you know, or McMahon Helmsley kind of, you know, authority, like having all that, trying to go for. So we're on the non-Spanish announce table, fully missing the opportunity, and then backflip, or, you know, flipping him over, Triple H, to take out Foley. The table not worked real well. That did not break very good. And so now both guys kind of laid out, but Helmsley with a little bit of a advantage here. And again, that was a deep blade job. He is really dripping at this point.
Well, we obviously know what we're getting for our WrestleMania main event. We had a McMahon at every corner. We had these two guys. Yep. We had The Rock and we had The Big Show. Ugh.
Yeah.
You know, I think they were, you know, and if you remember at the time, they were really trying to hype WrestleMania 2000, biggest WrestleMania ever. There was, you could buy this thing on pay-per-view. I know I did, where like they spent a half hour revisiting like each of the previous 15 ones. It was a blast. Cause remember, I'm 16 years old at the time. There was no YouTube. There was no WWE Network. Like, so to spend a half hour revisiting each WrestleMania was actually like a really big deal. I remember I recorded it, and it's something like fun to go back and watch. And so, I think they went for that four-way just, I think, for two reasons. Number one is it would be bigger than anything before. The first time there was four, you know, guys in the WrestleMania main event, and then the excitement of a McMahon in every corner. In reality, you know, we probably should have just gotten straight up Triple H Rock, right? And just hype the hell out of it. But I think they felt, hey, without Steve Austin, you know, we're not able to do a one-on-one match. But gosh, I would have just loved, you know, a straight up one-on-one, and they certainly did not go that route.
Well, and speaking of that Mania, like, the best match on the card would have been the tag ladder match.
Oh yeah.
Other than that, like, cause I'm looking at it myself right now, you had the cat fight of the Terry Reynolds and the cat with Val Venus as a special guest referee. Like, this is what you want your payoff to be on Mania. Like, this card overall, just not good. Like, it really wasn't. And yeah. And like, getting the fatal four way, like, I'm looking at, that was a 3-star, that main event. And so, yeah, it's just, and your bathroom match is Rikishi and Kane versus X-Pac and Road Dogg. Like, what?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. It just was not a good, for as much good stuff as they were doing then. I mean, hell, you know, you rebook that and you almost go, hey, maybe the main event should have just been, you know, if you knew Mick Foley was going to retire, maybe you just go, hey, our main event is, you know, Mick Foley is either going to be your champion or he's going to retire. And right, these two could have just, you know, tore down the house. Now, again, that wouldn't have been that unique because they're doing it here. They did it the following month. But if you would have shuffled some stuff around, you know, you could have gone. I mean, there's just other things you could have done. It just was not it was not good. Nothing about that. And then that was the first WrestleMania ever to end with a heel winning. Okay, so Triple H is the first heel to win. So it's just everything about that was just, ugh, just did not work.
Well, and yeah, and it just kind of, you got to, it sucked. There's no other way around it of just kind of looking at it. And we'll, you know, I'm glad that, you know, since then, obviously they've kind of figured out the formula, and sometimes it's for, you know, it's the show of one, it's for Vince, you know, just kind of how it happens. But, you know, just weird to, you know, and you and I will text each other. We're like, man, I think like even nowadays, like if there's a pay-per-view coming up, we're like, this could be sneaky good. And sure enough, like, you know, some of them, they are, that's like sneaky good. We're like, huh, like who would have thought, you know, the card doesn't look great, but you know, something, you know, it could just be good stuff. So, back to the ring.
I was going to say real quick, the only defense I can give, you know, so it's so funny. It's like we were talking about this, it might have been last week or a couple weeks ago. And, you know, the WrestleMania main events, I'd argue one through six were like almost flawless. Like, I don't even know how you could change them, right? Seven, we had talked about, you know, maybe instead of Hogan Slaughter for the title, you had Macho Warrior for the title or some other combination. I don't know. Right. And then, you know, eight, you didn't get Hogan Flair, and then nine, 10, you know, and there were a couple of years there. It just wasn't that good. The only, you know, but it's funny, you look back at wrestling, and I mean, take WrestleMania 5, for instance, right? That was like the only singles match you had to book for the year, because you had the Rumble was the attraction for that pay-per-view. Survivor Series was the big tag matches. SummerSlam, a lot of times they did, you know, tag matches involving your biggest stars. So it's like you were booking one big singles match a year. You know, it was like Hogan Warrior was the singles match that particular year. So, you know, it's a little bit different when you have to have, you know, 8 or 12 different big singles matches throughout the year. So playing around the handcuffs now, and it looks like Mick Foley's about to get, he got his hands handcuffed behind. Oh, this is going to be good.
You talk ill about 9 and 10, not a big Yokozuna fan at Tom's house.
No. I mean, you know, it's just WrestleMania 9 main event. 10, you know, I don't know.
No, I'm just, with you.
And again, you know, in the interest of full disclosure too, I'm just not a Bret Hart. The only time I never really liked Bret Hart until he was a heel. And then I'm like, wow, this is a great heel. But I just, the baby face Bret Hart, you know, WrestleMania 9, WrestleMania 10 era. I mean, the guy did nothing for me, but then once he started to be a whiny bitch heel, you know, late 96 into 97, I mean, that's when I actually thought he did his best work. So that's why I said, you know, if you could have given me that for 4 more years, his entire career is different.
Yeah. No, and just kind of, you know, taking that approach. So update on the ring. Oh, I forgot about the taxi on top of the entrance too, because they just showed it as well too. So now we've got the ring steps in the ring, the kind of top half. Foley is handcuffed behind his back, and Triple H, Foley avoiding taking the ring steps to the head, but then he kind of sweeps the leg on Triple H and falls into the steps to kind of brace himself. And so, if you guys still got Triple H just bloody as hell, but Cactus fighting back. That was a low blow, kind of a crazy low blow. God, look at the blood, man. You just really want, like, you know, nowadays, and he's biting him now. Cactus Jack is trying to get the upper hand, going for it again, and just kind of doing this. So, yeah, that's just, so you've got the barbed wire 2x4, a chair, and the ring steps in the ring as kind of your street fight. And so what are your thoughts? Because as we're kind of watching this one, hasn't been a ton of items, if you will, like weapons of destruction in this one. And nowadays you get like weapon of destruction matches. Like, is less more? Like, how does this play out with a true street fight? Are you liking this?
This is great, because these are all like things that you're going to see around the ring. Like, you know, you've got your steps, you've got your chair, pulled off some handcuffs. That's fine. I just find this to be a little grittier and more believable than, oh, let's find a bunch of props that we know don't hurt or gimmick. So I prefer this style of grittier street fight, use the entrance a little bit versus a lot of the shit we see now.
I've said it before and I'll say it again. Who is doing kendo so much that there's kendo sticks under the ring every single time? Like, not to put kendo down, but like, you know, that's someone, oh, just a straight chair shot again to Foley's head. Triple H hair is like soaked with blood. Like you can
tell. The top half of his head is just, it's like, it's gooey red.
Yeah. Disgusting. And so, really working Foley over here though. And they're back up the entrance ramp where there's like the bricks and things like fake brick and, those wood pallets where they had gone at. And so Foley yelling at each other.
Foley, man, how good of a visual is that?
Yeah. Great visual with a bloody mouth and Foley yelling at him from his knees. Oh, and here comes the Rock though, out of the entrance way to hit Triple H with a chair. And again, a callback to the build on this one with the Rock kind of saving Foley's job and you're getting him reinstated, rather kind of working with him. And so now you've got a police officer, which makes sense.
That's crazy. Makes so much sense. I love that.
Undoing the handcuffs, which like who is booking at this point? I'm like shocked right now because I'd forgotten that. And that makes so much sense. In regards to what's happening, like, why wouldn't a cop come out and do it right away? Granted, yes, he could have come out sooner, but like, it made perfect sense. Like, to come out with the Rock and undo the handcuffs. So now you got Foley beating up Triple H again. They're outside of the ring. This is other than the, this is interesting too. And I believe it was in one of the reviews, Goodbye Spanish Announce Table. Here we go. Most of this match for a quote unquote street fight has been in the ring. Like they have not really done a ton outside of the ring. And so
there's Cactus. Table doesn't break.
Ow. That had to like bang, bang. There it is. And just playing up to the crowd now. Yep. Right there with them all. Oh yeah. That had to hurt like a table that doesn't give pile driver. Or, yeah. Sit out one. Yikes.
He's just dragging Triple H. It's so good.
Great selling on this point, yeah.
Oh.
A giant security guard giving the crowd the eye. That's funny. Still dragging him back to the ring. Jesus, this is crazy.
So I guess a pinfall must occur inside the ring.
Is that the rules on this one?
Well, it has to be because they haven't done one outside the ring and he's trying to get him back in. So
that's a great point.
I was going to ask you about that earlier. But yeah, it looks like you have to finish the match inside the ring. Oh, thumbtacks.
Here we go. Here's the huge bag of thumbtacks. Yep. That's good. We have not had a single pinfall attempt. Yep.
There's been a few, but it's been a while. There was, I can think of at least one that did occur.
And that is.
But that's not a bad thing. You know, I mean, they're both trying to just.
No, it's. And so the amount of thumbtacks is literally indescribable. Like it covers probably a fourth, like the corner of the ring. And as we know, like you can't work those. Like that is, and now you've got Stephanie ringside. Those are not worked thumbtacks. Triple H teetering over them. Oh boy, here we go.
No.
Oh, and the backflip. Oh, Triple H reverses it. And backflips fully. Oh my God. And just hundreds of thumbtacks in the back of Foley at this point.
I actually think it's got to hurt more once they're already in. All right. So there's a ton in his arm. There goes pedigree. The pedigree. This has to be it, right? One
and one,
two. He kicks out. Holy shit.
No, he hit three. Yeah. Hebner hit three, but he kicked out. Yep. And so, and that's two. And so he just gave him a pedigree. There are now thumbtacks everywhere. And so to give him the pedigree, you can't avoid him. He's got him up and down his arms. And here we go. He's going to try and give him the pedigree on the thumbtacks again.
Oh my God.
Yep. Right on the thumbtacks. And Hebner trying to find a space to count with thumbtacks in his face. You can see them. Oh my gosh.
Look at him just forehead.
Right in his forehead. Yep. Look at the bottom of his shoes just covered in thumbtacks. Hebner picking them out of his hand too. Miraculously, the blood stopping now at this point.
Well, let's we can keep our reaction going here, but let's transition into the aftermath.
Ho! It's time for the aftermath.
All right, dude. Initial thoughts?
That was just the right amount of brutal. That's how I'm going to describe that one. That it was like they kick the crap out of each other, but going with the street fight theme, it made all the sense in the world. The tools they used, like the tactics they used, other than a bag of thumbtacks under the ring, but that also does kind of make sense in the wrestling sense. But like, you know, it just, it worked for me, all of it. How about you?
I mean, excellent. I mean, you, it wasn't plunder for plunder's sake. There was a legitimate reason. I mean, these two iconic characters had a legitimate beef. And so it all made sense. It wasn't, I mean, this was a fight. It wasn't a spot fest. I won't say as good as wrestling gets, but it's up there. Like, this is, to me, you know, you got two great characters. You have a heel versus a baby face. You've an incredible storyline, hot crowd, you know, great match. This is fantastic stuff, man.
Yeah, absolutely.
So what happens after this?
So we're looking at it right now. There's still some shenanigans happening in the immediate aftermath. You had Triple H placed on a stretcher, but Cactus Jack has now flipped him back toward the ring in the stretcher, and they're still kind of going at it. Ref's trying to pull him out. He's still got thumbtacks all over him and rolling him back into the ring. But kind of what happened after this a little bit here, and we'll keep giving you the play-by-play for those of you who's got the barbed wire 2x4 again. These guys continued to feud. Like, you know, while Triple H kind of won this one and he's still just getting his ass kicked. The next pay-per-view would have been February, No Way Out, like you alluded to a little bit already. That they had a match that ended up being a Hell in a Cell match. If he lost, that he would retire. So, and this was, again, you had one of those kind of iconic moments that, you know, climbing to the top of the cell, about to pile drive Triple H. It was onto like a barbed wire 2x4, or, you know, 2x4 barbed wire, reversing it, the cage giving way, you know, Cactus falling through, and then Triple H winning again. And I say, quote, ending Cactus fully Mankind Dude Love career at that point. Now, short lived, of course, you know, a retirement or a firing, whatever it might be. You know, it's a, you know, the biggest numbers in the world is the amount of times a wrestler retires. But very quickly, though, as you said as well too, this WrestleMania 2000, just not great, but the McMahon in every corner, and actually it was supposed to be Chris Jericho in Linda McMahon's corner, but Mick Foley ended up coming back actually and being the representative for Linda McMahon in that match. And so having that. And so Mick Foley at this point, he was done for a while. Like, he did not wrestle. It was almost 4 years at that point. You know, kind of went away, recover, all that stuff that he did. He legit retired, but of course pulled him back in, and, you know, that's kind of how wrestling is and things like that. And that would have been 2004 when he came back. You know, he was GM recently, all that other stuff. I say recently, it was a couple of years ago at this point, but you know, he had all that. And so, you know, still had a great career even after that fact. And then you know, going on, Triple H winning, and then it was actual WrestleMania 2000, of course, Triple H winning that main event, retaining the title, but then he ended up losing it at Backlash against The Rock. He got it back again. It was actually an Iron Man match at Judgment Day, and then he lost it again to The Rock at King of the Ring. And so a lot of hot shotting the belt at this point, a lot of back and forth. Finally, the one to win it from The Rock was Kurt Angle. And so you just had this, you know, back and forth, kind of what was happening, things like that. But that Angle getting involved in the picture as well to really kind of, through SummerSlam where, it was, there was a triple threat match against The Rock at that one, but The Rock retaining it. That was, if you remember too, this was Angle getting a concussion during that one. It was a pedigree kind of hurting him there. And then he went on to, had a little bit of a back and forth with Chris Benoit, but then also Stone Cold as well. So just, I mean, this was when he was really, I say it was post DX. It was, kind of on the quote singles run, but then like pre-Evolution is the best way, I kind of to look at it and kind of what he was doing, and kind of looking at that. And so, it ended up the kind of, to kind of put a end on the McMahon Helmsley era, which we'll talk about more. He ended up getting hurt actually. And so he missed, the kind of invasion stuff and, as that was happening. And so legit, like it was, it was messed up, hurt his quad, all this other stuff. And so just a lot happening. So, yeah. And so both guys, though, like we know the history, we know the legend, if you will, of these guys. And that's what they are, like the truly legends in the ring. And this match just, it speaks to that. So, yeah. So.
Okay. Well,
review write-ups, thoughts. You ready?
I'm ready to go. And yeah, it's in Mick Foley's, later career, I guess we could call it. Two matches that I'd love for us to go back and watch are, I think it was a Backlash match against Randy Orton, and then his WrestleMania match against Edge. Both those would be fun to watch.
Yeah, those would be good. I'll make sure those are on our list for later. So where do you've gotten the reviews on this one? PWI, Triple H was number one 2000. And so makes sense, just kind of, the career he had and things like that. And Cactus, Mick Foley, unranked actually, which I was surprised. So you've got that. But so where do you got here? We'll start with the PW Torch. Kind of a few different things here. So they gave it 4 stars. And so you have on TV, it didn't seem Cactus got the reaction he was expecting from the fans. Very good match, but not flawless. Deserving of 4 stars. The crowd seemed into the match, but not especially into the Cactus Jack character. We'll talk about that, but it said, but then and a write up, they also said like just this, speaking out of both sides of this point, Mick Foley is selfish. Him sacrificing of himself in the ring is done to get himself over because in the shape he's in, he needs thumbtacks and stiff chair shots to remain a god in the eyes of the fans. He needs the fans' adulation, so he takes unreasonable risks and fails to sell devastating moves in order to get himself over. His match with Triple H was captivating, no doubt. Both Foley and Triple H did a great job. Their timing was on, their moves were sharp, and most importantly, they had a great intensity from start to finish. I cannot give the match more than 5 stars, though. Early in the match, Foley took a mega stiff chair shot, and literally 20 seconds later, he was on the offense, showing no effects of the chair shot. What that means is any wrestler who sells a chair shot in the near future will seem as a wimp compared to Foley. The beauty of pro wrestling is it gets to decide which moves hurt and which moves don't. Foley makes sure the only way fans will pop for chair shots if there are a half dozen stiff ones. So, it's the thumbtacks is just a desperate stunt done for attention that takes no skill or grace. Since fans know Foley is the only one desperate enough to land on them, there is no drama over who will land on them. That said, Foley interview at the end of Heat should be studied by every wrestler trying to improve their talking skills. The psychology, facial expressions, cadence, intensity were awesome. So I say that one. Oh, I'll get there. Okay. Next, though, I got thoughts. The Wrestling Observer Newsletter next, then. Them giving it 4.5 stars, of course. And so that was Wade. And then you get into the Meltzer at this one. Again, 4.5. Cactus vs. Helmsley was a bona fide match of the year candidate, and in hindsight, probably should have gone on last. The feel was that nobody at this point should be asked to follow The Rock, and WWF likes to go off the year, if at all plausible, with a match where the babyface gets his hand raised. But the Royal Rumble absolutely could not follow the title match. Still, it was the best pay-per-view show from any of the companies in several months. Jack and Helmsley delivered a street fight that was about as good a match as it could be, but also finished asking the same questions about the future direction of wrestling, where more weapons, blood, and injuries are necessary to satisfy the growingly desensitized audience. So, I'll go first on this one. Okay. I think that it's almost comical to me, and you and I talk about this at length. It's comical to me, like how hard they shit on Foley on that one. And then to go down that road, but then say, well, you should have been paying more attention to Heat. I'm like, okay, like nobody was paying attention to Heat. Like that's the reason that like Heat isn't a thing. And so to kind of put that out there, like that's just not a thing. And so I have a hard time kind of going down that road. I think too that, yeah, like it's tough because like Foley was beat to hell. He was, I say, closer to the end of the kind of career at this point.
But I don't think you could tell.
No, and that's what the point I'm going to make is like, yeah, you cannot tell because like this was the Mick Foley, Cactus Jack, Mankind that I wanted to see. Like that was the part of the character that I wanted was him taking these crazy bumps. Like that's who he was. So to say that's the only way he can get a pop. Like there's signs in the audience to say Foley is God. And so like I think to play that up that way and say no, you can't. Like that's just BS. To me, I think that that's just kind of stupid and ridiculous. And again, it's like one take that happened in 2000. And so, yeah, they couldn't have known what was going to happen. I agree though. Like, could this have been match of the year? The match of the year this year was actually that ladder match at WrestleMania. And so I guess compared to that, yeah, like it's hard to go over that match. Yep. But at the same time, like, there's absolutely nothing wrong with that match either. And I don't think it was paced well. I think the spots made sense in every way. And so I'm going to give it an 8.5 because I think that it's just everything to me made more than enough sense. Like I didn't have to suspend too much disbelief, but like in the world of like a Mick Foley match, it worked. Like, and that's exactly what it should have been. And like outcome, I don't even care. Like either one could have won. I wouldn't have mattered to me because I thought, and I've said this a lot, like the in-ring product was really good and made sense from that storyline kind of standpoint. Absolutely. How about you?
Yeah. Well, I have very little to add. I also had an 8.5. I thought the build to this was excellent. I thought the match was fantastic. That's the thing. And we've talked about it, you know, as we've talked about this era of WWF versus WCW, the WWF vastly more often than not delivers on main events.
Yep.
The main events, I mean, this is, and I know that the Royal Rumble went on last. This is a main event. This is a great build. This is two characters you care about. They have a reason for being in this street fight. Crowds into it. I mean, this is just off the charts, awesome stuff. So 8.5, you know, if you wanted to be nitpicky, I didn't love what happened the following couple months between the Hell in the Cell, which I just didn't love. And then the, you know, the WrestleMania four-way. So that takes away a little bit from me. But otherwise, really, really great stuff.
Yeah. So overall, hard to complain about something like this. And so we've had some bad ones recently where, you know, we kind of some low score. So it's good to get back into a good match again and kind of watch one that a little exciting. Absolutely. So
cool.
All right, 8.5s all around. I haven't said it in a few weeks, so at Payoff Pod, we always appreciate you guys kind of reaching out to us and letting us know your score or just letting us know what matches you want and things like that. And so, you know, full disclosure, Tom and I think we said it before, but we added about 150 matches to the list. And so we're not stopping. We're not going anywhere, but let us know what you want to see and what you kind of want to do with at Payoff Pod, at Payoff Tom, at Payoff Jeff. We are around, and we appreciate everybody kind of reaching out to us and doing all that stuff. So, Tom, ready? Final thoughts, send us home. Let's do this.
Nope, time to go home. So great show, great match, and we'll see you next week for I believe the conclusion of our Royal Rumble series for the year next week. So as always, thank you for joining us on The Payoff.